First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can hop on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. It's simple. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I think it's pretty obvious what we're going to be talking about, what we're going to be reacting to, and want to hear from you. Part of the goal of First Take, your take, is to not just play you what Stephen A. and Max think and their guests every day, not just to hear some of my take, but for you guys to get involved in the conversations, even when they're tough conversations. Now, I'm proud of the fact that over the past 3 or 4 weeks, we haven't backed away from that as a show, and we won't do it today. So, obviously, the NASCAR story that is ruling the conversation today has been about Bubba Wallace and NASCAR as the FBI concluded their investigation. I want you to hear directly from Steve Phelps, NASCAR president, of what they found with the accusations of a noose being in the garage of Bubba Wallace over the weekend.
The evidence is very clear that the noose that was in that garage had been in the garage previously. The last race we had had there in October, that noose was present. And it was, you know, the fact that it was not found until a member of the 43 team came there is something that is a fact. We had not been back to the garage. You know, it was a quick one-day show. The crew member went back in there. He looked at saw the noose, brought it to the attention of his crew chief, who then went to the NASCAR series director, Jay Fabian, and we launched this investigation.
So that's Steve Phelps, NASCAR president, on the investigation that found that there was no hate crime committed. Now, that's going to lead to a lot of conversation, and I'm willing to have that conversation with you guys. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Load them up. You guys saw, if you follow me on Twitter, at Jason Fitz, you saw that I disagreed with Will Kane yesterday on some statements about the media. We're going to do that on air in a few minutes. Will's going to join us. We're going to hash it out, and we'll talk a little bit about some of our difference in opinion in the way this was covered. But we're going to start with some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless doesn't play games. Get the unlimited plan, 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Saves you up to 50% against the big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. And the Straight Talk came in the form of Will joining Stephen A. and Max as they talked about whether or not there will be any backlash for Bubba Wallace and NASCAR as a result of the FBI report.
When you talk about it being inflamed by NASCAR and inflamed by the media, that's where I would challenge you on this. First of all, let's understand something here. If you're NASCAR, it actually fell in line. I'm not engaging in any kind of conspiracy theory or anything like that. They actually benefit from this. One of my boys actually pointed this out. When you look at what transpired, remember, under the stewardship of Steve Phelps overseeing NASCAR, we've seen from that guys like Marty Smith and others who have been covering the sport, this is the direction that they want to go in. It's a different day. And they certainly want to decry and basically omit or literally go about the business of eradicating things, errors of the past, per se. So this fell right in line with that because it gave them the ammunition and it gave them the ability to say, this is a different day in terms of getting all the NASCAR drivers out there, pushing Bubba Wallace's car to the front, making sure they stood in unison with him, knowing that he's the lone black driver on the NASCAR circuit. They were saying, hey, listen, we stand with you. You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. We want to be inclusionary. We don't want to ostracize anybody. And whatever culture that has existed surrounding this sport that condones that, we are no longer accepting
right.
it. So this particular incident definitely fell in line with contributing to a direction in which NASCAR wanted to go in to begin with. So I find it very convenient that, again, they said they actually benefit from this because, again, it assisted them in pushing this forward. The flip side to it, however, is this. Well, when you talk about the media, let's understand something here. I completely agree with you about the media. There are too many people that are interested in expressing their opinion as opposed to being in pursuit of truth. I think that's a very valid argument, and I think that's something that I completely condone you bringing up. But don't forget those who lie along the way. They engage in spin. They lie all the time. They lie to the media all the time. And that has something to do with it as well. It's not just the media. It's society as a whole. Let's not forget that.
Okay. If I may, Stephen, I'm going to address both those at the same time. I cannot give NASCAR any credit.
Sure.
I think NASCAR deserves a massive indictment. It was a rush to judgment by NASCAR. If I read their statement from Sunday, it presumes that a racist act took place, that it was a heinous crime. It presumes the existence that something terrible happened, and it did not. So what I'm telling you is NASCAR's motivations were other than being truthful. And you pointed it out. NASCAR wants a rehab of its reputation. And I celebrate a lot of that. Get rid of the Confederate flag.
True.
I said that on the Will Cain show. Move forward. But you do not build progress on the foundation of a lie. You cannot do that. Well, and NASCAR, like those people in the media, Stephen A., had a different agenda than the truth.
But
They wanted to advance their brand. Individuals in the media want to advance their likability. They want to advance their agenda or their Twitter likes, whatever it may be. But that we're giving in to weakness and fear and personal and industry brand building, and we're doing anything but pursuing the truth. And that will ultimately undercut everybody's purpose if you just are brave enough. And by the way, I disagree with you guys many times on opinion. I don't presume either of you disregard the truth. I think you're both genuine seekers of it. But that is in desperate short supply.
As it relates to NASCAR,
go ahead, Max.
As it relates to NASCAR and the assumptions that people made, including those in NASCAR, well, I think those were reasonable assumptions. This is an organization where it took the effort of a person of color in Bubba Wallace to organize and galvanize his fellow drivers in order to finally get rid of the Confederate flag. In an organization that is that late to the American Party, I think if you find something, even if you think, well, it's not a noose, it's a door pull, but it's the only one fashioned like that, in his garage, it is reasonable to connect dots. And again, no one person
Max,
was
please,
singled out
please to be
say,
faithful to the
you
facts
committed
on
a crime.
That.
That's
Max.
One.
Be faithful to the facts on the garage pull. It was in multiple garages since 2019, and nobody knew that Bubba Wallace was going to be in that garage.
I understand. I get that it wasn't meant for Bubba Wallace. There's no dispute about that fact. It wasn't meant for Bubba Wallace. What I'm saying is the original assumption was not a crazy one where people are where you could just automatically, you could assume, well, NASCAR is brand or image conscious, or others they want validation from the public about their righteous stance, et cetera. I think that was actually a reasonable assumption, which was proved wrong, which is a good thing. Secondly, the idea of people not truth seeking. In fact, what we have is the party that is catering to mostly white voters right now on issues of kind of racial identity. In fact, that party has subscribed largely to a post-truth world based on misinformation campaigns. And those facts that I just said are not in dispute. So when you talk about people not really truth-seeking and fact-seeking, in fact, largely that comes top-down from leadership of a political party that looks to use misinformation to galvanize their base of support. I mean,
what does that have to do with this topic?
I'm not going there, Max. I don't need to go there.
Society is broken. Good.
We talk about society is broken because in terms of people are not pursuing the truth. That's basically what his statement was. Well, what I would say to you is this, respectfully. What I would say to you is this. We're talking about something that appeared to be a noose. We at least agree on that, Will. And if you're talking about something that appears to be a noose and it's associated with the sport of NASCAR, considering the history that you have articulated, they obviously have a zest to rehab. What the hell do you expect people to think?
Now, that's some straight talk from First Take. And let's be real. Usually when we're coming off of First Take and somebody's been on the show, we don't have them right back on our show. But I'm going to be honest with you. Will Cain is somebody that not only do I like and respect, but Will's somebody that's been there for me for years as I've tried to figure out my path at ESPN, and somebody I respect the heck out of. However, yesterday, Will and I had a disagreement on these issues on Twitter, and I figured, why not bring it to air? So, First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils, don't forget, made from natural gas, gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. So, we're going to do a little crosstalk here and head over to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, where Will Cain joins us, host of The Will Cain Show. And Will, you tweeted yesterday, and thanks for the time, man. You know, I always appreciate it when you come on. And I do want to qualify by telling everybody, because your Twitter following yesterday is convinced that you and I see the world very differently and that we hate each other. I should start by saying you're a buddy, and there's a lot of respect in any conversation that we ever have. You've been there to help me a lot. So I always appreciate it, even when we differ in opinion.
Cool. Me too.
Okay, now that we've qualified it, I felt like we had to do that for the listening audience that so often wants all of us to hate each other. So you tweeted yesterday that the media is part of the problem, and your sentiment being that the media has an obligation to wait to react. You said NASCAR didn't care about the truth. Almost everyone in the media didn't care about the truth. Curiosity questions and the search for the truth were dismissed as contrarian at best, racist at work. Media is broken. Society is broken. I don't understand where you're coming from on that. And I got to be honest, because what did the media report here? The media reported that someone saw a noose, right? Not Bubba Wallace, but someone saw a noose. The media reported that that person was likely a NASCAR employee or somebody that had access to the event, not a fan. And the media reported that that NASCAR was going to do a swift and thorough investigation. Well, they did that swift and thorough investigation. They found that it's a misunderstanding. Where's the great injustice from any of the reporting that was done?
Okay, so we'll start with talking about the media. So, Jason, I believe very deeply and passionately about the things that I tweeted yesterday and that I'm saying right now. I'm a little bit taken aback by the response of some of my colleagues in the media, including you. I was taken aback by your responses. What is weird to me is there's this concept, I guess, that everyone else adheres to that I feel no affiliation to, and that is that the media is a club or a brotherhood, or that we are all in this together. And if you say the media is not part of the problem, Jason, one of the major problems in our country right now, many feel personally attacked. If you had tweeted that about the media, I would not have thought that applied to me. I'm shocked at how many people, I guess, in a real sense of honesty and self-awareness, think it applies to them. And maybe that they should. They should, because there should be some long looks in the mirror. I do not think there is a fidelity or even an interest in finding the truth. And now I'm going to address when I say media, you know, I mean at large, right? I mean, I don't think it's unfair to say.
But Will, I mean, that's a little disingenuous, right? But like if somebody comes to me and says, like when I was touring in country music, if somebody comes to me and says all country musicians are rednecks, well, I'm not. So am I not going to be offended by some level of that? Like when you go on your show and say the media and you immediately follow my show where I don't share some of your views, how can I not consider that me being lumped into some greater conversation?
Well, I haven't heard what you've said. I'm not going to. Listen, man, if I hear you say something and I disagree with it, I will tell you. I think you know that. I'll say it on my show and I'll say it directly to you. This idea that I can't say the media is just a denial of what exists in this country. There's an absolute monolithic point of view in the media right now. An absolute monolithic addressing of anything. Forget even the last 2 months. I mean, for years. And so I think everyone in the media is essentially marching to the same beat, the same drum. And then I ask why? Why are we doing that? Like, how is that even possible? How is it one industry is so taken by one particular point of view? I mean, that just defies, you know, that just defies market realities. I have my reasons, geography, self-selection, a lot of that. But what I think is going on right now is a selfishness on individual levels and on company levels to make decisions based out of fear, out of weakness, out of being afraid of being called a racist. I think that's what happened with Bubba Wallace. If you just showed up on Monday and go, I'm not so sure this is exactly as it's being told to us. How do you think that would have been received, Jason? Honestly, how do you think that would have been received? I know because I've had conversations behind the scenes about when I was ready to do that. I know how it would be received. So what I think is there is a monolithic point of view in the media that is not driven by real pursuit and interest in the truth. Maybe likability, maybe popularity, maybe audience building, maybe weakness, maybe fear, but not out of seeking the truth. And back to real one point you made. You know, what are we supposed to do? NASCAR said this. We are not court stenographers. We do not just take the word as presented to us and then relay it to the public. That's not necessary in 2020 because people can get that on their own. NASCAR can go directly to people. It's our job to be critical thinkers, to look through the issue, poke holes in it, try to get to the truth. It's not good enough to go, well, that's what NASCAR told us, and so we should go with that. It's not good enough.
Yeah, but Will, in fairness, isn't part of, as I said to you on Twitter yesterday, part of what we do in sports talk radio or in media in general on radio every day is you're asked every day to write an incomplete book report. You're writing based on the information you have. You're asked to make a judgment and an opinion. I mean, I understand your quest for the truth, but my job, as I said to you on Twitter yesterday, is to facilitate conversation and give you the best informed opinion that I have in the moment. So the very concept that we should be holding back and getting all truth, I mean, we all know that you're going to a different space soon, right? Like, are you going to step back and not say anything about any political candidate until we know everything that there possibly is to know about the scenario or the accusation or whatever the issue is that comes up? We don't live in a world where that's possible, frankly. You have to react with the best information you have on hand, form your opinions, facilitate conversation, and then as you get more information, it's okay if your opinions evolve.
Jason, the fact that we live in a 24-hour news cycle is a reality, but it's not an excuse. I have real indictments. I mean this, Jason. Listen, man. I want to tell you two things I'm very passionate about. I am very passionate about the job that we are supposed to do. I do not think it's not about whether or not you make mistakes. It's not about whether or not we have disagreements on our opinions. But I have real doubts about the fidelity of people that are given microphones. And if you want to take it as a sweeping indictment, I can have that conversation with each and every individual on an individual basis. And I have. Last night, I talked to several of my colleagues, a lot, not unlike the conversation that you had with me on Twitter about, you know, what do you mean by media? I have real concerns that there are ulterior motives driving what we do than actual effort to find and relay the truth. And I think my concerns are very, very well founded. Second thing I'm passionate about, it has a real deep cost, Jason, real deep cost. Whatever the reason, whatever the motivation, groupthink, monolithic, weakness, fear, self-interest in building a career, whatever it is, the cost, Jason, is to this country, to the people out there listening to us and their perception of reality. And I care, no matter how many issues I find myself in that are divisive, I care deeply about race relations in this country. I care deeply about progress and advancement of every single people, including and in particular African Americans. And when we get it wrong for what I think is very shallow motivations, it's not simply, oops, the news cycle changed. We have done real damage, damage to the country, damage to each other, and damage to the truth by, well, 24-hour news cycle. You know, we took NASCAR's word, now it's changed. Hey, good news. It wasn't a hate crime.
But what do we get? I mean, at the core of what you're saying is essentially that people are worried more about their brands and their reputations than reporting the truth. And as a result, they got it wrong. Now, I'll look specifically because you are often the counter voice at ESPN that comes in with a more conservative view, a view that oftentimes you and I have talked off air and I've said on air, I agree with in some instances. You and I agree on more things than we disagree with in many things in life. However, you come in with a different perspective than many people on ESPN radio. So when you come in and you say that the media is misreporting this for their own personal agenda, A, how does that not feel like an attack to the rest of us that don't at some point share your view? And B, who's doing that? Because I listen to Go Look and Wingo in the morning, and they don't turn around and suddenly put forth an agenda above whatever they see the truth is. They're not putting popularity above everything else. Levitard, certainly not doing that. I've come in over the last several weeks and had honest, real, raw emotion and conversation about this. And as we reported with this, or reported, as we spoke to this issue, when we spoke to this issue, what do? We talked about the facts on hand, what we were given, and we reacted to an incredible moment.
How is it everybody got it wrong?
So
what, is it just an amazing, by the way, I don't even think my politics have anything to do with this. You say I'm the one. How is it that everybody got it wrong? That's also something completely that defies, again, logical expectations. Everybody got it wrong in the same way. How'd that happen?
But what did I get wrong? That's what I don't understand. Like, if you look across the landscape,
everybody over the last 3 days has had broad-ranging conversations about NASCAR, its fan base, and this country. They took an instance, in this case, a falsehood, and extrapolated it for days into broad societal implications, indictments of this country. They used it as evidence, and then when we turn out that the exact predication for the entire conversation is a falsehood, what do we do? You don't think, look at the headlines. Look what NASCAR's response was. Look what our conversations have been about the last couple of days. Please understand this. Hold on really quickly. This is very important. This is not a denial, what I'm saying, about the existence of racism in America. In fact, I feel the opposite. What has happened here because of this irresponsibility is we have emboldened racists. You have emboldened doubters and naysayers. You have emboldened the exact progress that this country can make together by sowing distrust and division, by being, look, in your estimation, I guess what you're telling me is, can you say it? You got it wrong. Just got it wrong.
But
I wonder why.
You still haven't told me what I got wrong. You still haven't told me what I got wrong.
I haven't listened to everything.
You keep saying they got it wrong. No, but I'm telling you what we've been, man, this is the hardest part about it. And we're up against it. We got a clock against us. We're going to continue the debate.
Will you take this very personally? I don't know what you have said, Jason. I don't know. So I can't say what you in particular has gotten wrong. I'm sorry. I haven't heard, but I can know this. It was on World News Tonight. CNN,
we just lost Will.
Fox
or we just,
News.
There's Will.
You got
Sorry,
it all?
Will, we lost you for a second. The comrades got up. Technology at its finest. I want to keep this debate going, and we will keep it going on the Will Cain Show.
Right, you come on my show.
I'm
we'll
up against
this
the
going.
Clock.
Yes.
I appreciate you joining us. I appreciate the debate and the time, as always, Will. And even when we see issues differently, you know it's all out of love and respect, man. Thanks for joining us. I really
feel
it.
The same way, Jason. I really do. Thank you.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Don't forget to tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. Get you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters presented by Marathon. Download and subscribe and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Mina Kimes always does great work on that podcast. Obviously, the last segment got heated between Will Cain and myself. I want to stress a couple of things. And I want to stress this loudly for anybody that heard it or for anybody that's talking about it on social media. Will and I have a friendship, and Will is somebody that I'm genuinely going to miss being around ESPN, and Will is somebody that I'm going to keep in touch with. I love working with Will. I love talking to Will. Will and I don't philosophically agree on everything, but we do agree on more than probably a lot of people realize. We're more similar than we are dissimilar in some ways. That means when we do disagree, it's usually interesting, and sometimes it gets heated. So that being said, I still stand by the way, at least on this show, we've handled everything in the Bubba Wallace situation, and I stand with pride on the conversations that we've had. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-793-7776. I won't walk it back. If you guys want to debate Bubba Wallace and how it should look moving forward, I'm happy to do that. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. In the meantime, let's go to the Shell Penzo performance line, where I know it's going to be a little less contentious now. My buddy ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky joins us. Dan, thanks for the time. I hope you guys are safe. I appreciate it. I promise you and I won't yell as much as Will Cain and I just did. So we'll be, nice. Unless you tell me bad things about my beloved Raiders. So let's start with the obvious conversation that's happening right now. As the NFL says, players shouldn't be having voluntary workouts, but we see many teams, including obviously the biggest name, Brady, doing it with the Buccaneers. As a former quarterback, how important are these voluntary workouts? How necessary are they, given the league doesn't want them to be happening?
Yeah, I mean, they're a big deal. You know, first of all, athletes are creatures of habits. And one of the habits that we form as professional athletes is, you know, the process of our off season. And so many guys, basically everyone, is used to this third week back end of June being the final work that you do before you take a little break in the summertime and then training camp comes. And so many guys, and I was one like this, that really want to just do everything we can to keep that routine that we've got. And I think this is just an example of that with Tom Brady. He's a creature of habit. And other guys that are working out, and they want to get their workout. Two, a lot of guys are chasing the clock. A lot of guys are chasing time. And this is either their window to make one more final Super Bowl run or, you know, gearing up for a contract year or trying to survive to make a team. And then three, know, for specific guys, and again, these are quarterback-led workouts, a guy like Tom Brady is in a brutally difficult division, and they know they can't start slow. Sam Darnold's going into a big year where, you know, he's got to continue to make progress. Dak Prescott's going to be in either a contract year or the expectations being Super Bowl or bust. So, like, when you're a quarterback, you know that these reps are invaluable, and they're going to show themselves during the season, and you try to do everything you can to make sure you take advantage of what you can given the circumstances.
We're talking to ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. Now, part of the conversation is also on health and safety, and a few Bills players spoke out on the record saying that they don't believe the NFL is really has their safety at the forefront of their minds when it comes to COVID-19. If you were still playing in the league today, how comfortable would you be going into camp?
I'd be very comfortable. I would disagree with the Bills players. The NFL hasn't changed anything right now because they don't need to. You know, we baseball and basketball had to change because they needed to. The NFL, people think for some reason that the NFL is stupid. They're not. They're very aware of what's going on, but they don't need to change anything right now. And so there's no reason to make some announcement of these, you know, these drastic changes that might take place. This is an ever-changing day-to-day type of situation. And so monitoring it and being prepared to be agile is the biggest thing that they need. And it's also the thing that they've said they would be doing. Now, I obviously no medical expert, but everything data-wise tells us that if you're a relatively healthy person, that this should not be something that you should have long-term concerns about. And that's what players will think. Okay, I've got 3 or 4 years to make my money. 60 to 70% of the NFL is minimum salary guys. It's not the 10 million a year kind of guys. And I'm only going to have such a short window to make this money. So, Jason, if it's me and my team and I'm in that situation and I'm going into my fourth year and I'm going to make $1 million and I'm a fringe guy that's not going to play for 15 years, and you tell me the only way I can make my money this year is to play this NFL season, I will do everything I can to play that season. I'll quarantine myself away from my family just so I can make my money. And so my comfort level would be high because the data and the doctors are telling me I'm not someone who's at an extremely high risk to have long-term, not perfect, but long-term impact from this. And I've got my job to do that. I have a very small window to make my income. I'd be comfortable.
We're talking to ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. So I also think it's interesting The Athletic reported today that there's at least a consideration by the league right now to allow each team to decide what they're comfortable with as far as fans in the stands. So depending on what municipalities will allow, some places could have fans, some places could not. What's your reaction to that?
My reaction would be, why are we so committed to having fans in the stadium? I get it. No one loves football more than me. I get it. But why are we so committed to making sure that we're going to have fans in the stadium? If we feel like, you know, we're pushing the envelope, so to speak, to even have this season because we know of the economical impact, then why are we like trying to push it so far? You know, that would be my only question. Is it really that big a deal to say, you know what, fans will not be a part of the stadiums this season? Maybe a vaccine comes out beforehand. Who knows? But I would just go, you know, whoever wins the Super Bowl this year or for college football in the national championship is not going to be the biggest story. The greatest accomplishment and achievement would be to pull the season off without any worst case scenario. So why are we going to continue to add to potential of worst case scenarios? That would be my only thing. I'm not a season ticket holder. I don't pay for that. So maybe my vantage point is a little bit different than a traditional fan, but I would just go, can't we all just sit back and go, is this something that is needed versus something that is wanted?
Dan, I'm imagining this world where some places, because of their particular local government, you know, they're handling it different, so their stadium's full, and then the next week, somebody else's stadium's basically empty. I mean, how much should competitive balance be a part of this conversation as well?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's obviously part of the conversation and something that you know, would have to be, I agree that there would have to be some uniformity. You know, there, you couldn't allow the Kansas City Chiefs to have their home crowd, but then not allow someone like the New Orleans Saints to. You know, that would just be such a competitive advantage. We all know how difficult it is to play on the road. If you tell me that I have to go to New Orleans and not have to deal with the crowd noise, it's a lot easier to go win that football game. If you tell me I have to go to Kansas City and deal with crowd noise, then it becomes that much harder. And so, yeah, competitive advantage, you know, and how what the uniformity of the NFL will have to kind of make a blanket statement. And again, that's for me where I was like, why are we trying to push this so hard? Maybe in college football it's different. Maybe in college football it's different because, you know, if I think of Oxford, Mississippi, you know, the economic impact in that city for those 7 or 8 home games is enormous. But I don't know if we feel that as much in the NFL.
Always great stuff, Dan. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst. Unfortunately, we ran out of time before Dan could tell us all that Derek Carr is going to be an MVP candidate this week. You know what? Next week, we'll get into that with you, Dan. Just let me have my moment of hope. That's all.
Later, bud.
Dan, appreciate it, man. Hope you guys are safe. Thanks for hanging out with us.
You too, champ. Bye-bye.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, home, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. We're going to keep taking your take. And I want to back down from a 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Obviously, the situation around NASCAR over the last 48 hours has caused a tremendous amount of discussion and a tremendous amount of reaction. You've heard some of my take. You've heard me argue with Will Kane about it. You've heard First Take. I want to take your take on all things Bubba Wallace next. First Take, your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's next up. First Take, your take. ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Did you know GEICO's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself, too?
There's never been a better time to switch to GEICO. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Don't forget ESPN Radio presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want your thoughts on NASCAR, or your thoughts on Bubba Wallace. We'll take all of it. The side that agrees with me, the side that doesn't. Still, as I look back on the argument with Will Kane that we had last hour, well, it did get heated. I love that I'm able to have those heated conversations with him, and hopefully we can continue to have that with you guys in a respectful way. Brian in Pennsylvania, thanks for calling the show. Brian, what's your take on Bubba Wallace, NASCAR, and the entire situation?
Well, the whole thing is driving me crazy. I'm a merchant mariner by trade, and I work with ropes on a daily basis. That knot on the end of that rope is a bowline. It doesn't look like a noose. It doesn't act like a noose. It is merely a way of taking a line and making a permanent eye on it. It doesn't close, and no matter how much strain you put on it, it's very easy to take apart. I guarantee that one of the mechanics back in October owns a boat, and he was tired of pulling on that rope. So he put a bowline in the end of that line. And, you know, here we go. You can pull the garage door down. It's very easy to do. And probably one of the FBI agents who was doing the investigation probably also owns a boat, saw the bowline and said, this is ridiculous. Why is this going on? The FBI released the investigation almost immediately. This entire thing is a wild mistake. And the fact that the country has gone crazy over a mistake and they continue to call it a noose is just perpetuating this. And it's really a shame.
Okay, so stick with me for a second. I'm not a knot expert, so I won't pretend to be. I'll take your expertise on that all day. So even if everybody's wrong and it wasn't a noose and they've gone through the investigation, okay, I mean, where is the great, like, who's been the victim of a great injustice as a result?
No one. There is no injustice. It was a knot. It was a loop on the end of a rope. There is no injustice.
But you're making my point. Thanks for bringing your take into it. What I'm saying is that this is, like, through all of it, for everybody that's just absolutely flipping out over this, I would say that NASCAR made a bold statement, did an investigation, found that it wasn't what we thought. These are all good things. Like, I'm struggling to find why everybody's so worked up about the way this all went down, including Will. That's what we argued about earlier. Chase in Virginia. Chase, give me your take on it.
Yes, I just wanted to say something. I'm sure many NASCAR fans feel the same way, but I believe NASCAR and Bubba Wallace owe the NASCAR fans a big apology for this hoax that everyone's saying is Jesse 2.0. And I believe the pressure should be put on Richard Petty Motorsports to either have Bubba Wallace come out and issue an apology or be released from his contract. And if they don't do that, then the pressure needs to be on the sponsors to defund the team. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so let me ask you, what hoax was committed by Bubba Wallace?
Well, everyone on social media is calling this Jesse's fault.
I'm not asking about everybody. I'm asking you. I've heard the Jesse stuff, and I'm not going to go there because that's a total different thing. What hoax did Bubba Wallace commit here? One of his employees saw a noose. Bubba never saw it. So what did Bubba do wrong other than believe somebody that obviously was mistaken that worked for him? So what great hoax did Bubba pull off?
Well, blowing this all out of proportion, confusing a noose for a garage pole that's
okay,
been there since.
But again, Bubba didn't do that. Bubba's employee did. So I struggle to see where Bubba owes. And then did Bubba accuse fans of doing anything?
Well, he's accusing somebody because, if I'm not mistaken, after a race is impounded, after a rain delay, the cars should be impounded. So, therefore, none of the crews or drivers should have access to the garage area.
Right, and you're right about all of that because the conversation from the get-go was that if somebody did it, it would have had to have been an employee or somebody that works with NASCAR. So to your point, and thanks for your take on it, but this is where my mind's blown. Like, Bubba Wallace didn't make up a situation. He trusted somebody he worked with that worked as part of his team that said he saw a noose. And Bubba Wallace didn't turn around and say a fan did this. In fact, the very people that would have been accused, if anybody was accused, were NASCAR employees, the same employees that stood with him through the course of the race. So the people that were supposedly offended weren't. We're going to keep taking your take next. First Take Your Take, ESPN Radio.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.